features of language in Fluidity is for text and B for violence. Unfortunately, we don't provide a P for pigeons as yet, as I see that some of the other channels do, but we're getting there. I've been working for them for just over six years, and I do enjoy my job. And it might sound like really easy, but it's very demanding because we don't only do it because we have issues that need to be redressed, like marginalization of people with disability that doesn't have access to certain things in the media. We need to redress that and make those things accessible to all South Africans of South Africa. And I am a mother of two children, a wife of one husband. And yeah, I was 6 months pregnant when I had my accident. This is so, by the way. So my son was born a month after my accident, and he's got mental disabilities, autistic. So it's the two of us that's battling through the highways and byways to get to our way, make noise, be seen, be heard, and so now I'm being reactive to attention, unfortunately.
Yes, thank you, and thank you. I'm not going to ask you if you really have to sit through all those movies that Randy tells me you air on Friday nights or so. I'm not going to ask that. You are so right in terms of the... It was you who told me about those things.
Yeah, it was you.
I said I'm not going to ask Randy. So you
What's
on?
Randy, not for Randy.
Not for Randy.
We really have a problem. I don't want us to go there. So I said I'm not going to ask if you have to sit through all those things.
I'll put his name on it.
Yes. On a very serious note, I couldn't agree more with you as to the need. You talk about media development, diversity. We often talked about all the people and the rural areas and those things, but of course people are differently abled, as you said. There's a major problem there, and they need to be worked on. And I heard you said that. But now I also need to ask you, being a member of that board, how you go about with that in practice? With the inclusion of the more difficult situation in our country, in other words, not just addressing that in our cities, but also in our rural areas. And some remarks, I mean, you come from a broadcasting background in terms of this work, but also in terms of print, you know, the idea of print versus television in terms of people with hearing disability. Just those things. How in practice are you going, you say we need to address it. What will you bring to that board? Practical ideas and means of really addressing it, please.
Hello. I have a very good friend who has a visual disability, and he's been marginalized big time. Our community papers have got no form of braille, so I have to read to him. I know it's expensive, but then we claim to be accessible to everybody, so we need to take finances from somewhere and get some braille out there. Then we have people who are illiterate because of this disability. They've never had no access to schools, to high schools, to universities. What are we going to do about it? We have ABAD programs where we can go into the community, teach those people the basics A, B, C, and D. And it's not that they don't have the physical paper in their hand. They have it. They can't read it. Because they've been marginalized big time. So we go out there, we educate them to at least read the I, the M, and to sign their own names. That is one of the ways we can do to make media accessible to everybody, male, female, black, white, disabled, tall, short, whatever our problem is.
Thank you, Ms. Mullins. You know, very often when a person looks at other people sitting, for instance, in a wheelchair, they think people are disabled. Now, that's so far from the truth. The only difference is I can walk, you can't walk. That's the only difference that I look at you and other people, but you are the one that proposes us all of us. we've seen some challenges, and it seems to be the electronic media, like community radios, or ETVs, or SBCs, are making big strides to reach out to the people disabled, particularly the youth. If you should be served on the MDV A board, how do you make sure that we do something similar in terms of the print? Because there seems to be a huge lack of community print, community newspapers and that sort of thing. How do you see yourself having a bigger impact in terms of that? Thank you.
Of the experience?
No, print media. Community newspapers.
Yeah, as I said, Braille to begin with. Braille to begin with, and also educating our people, especially in the rural area. I mean, us sitting in the towns and in the suburbs, I've got no idea what those people are going through. So if we can go in there and teach them, educate them, help them to read a newspaper, a very simple article on whatever, I see myself as going into the community and doing that. I did not mention earlier, before I started at ETV, I worked at Working for Waters, and I was one of their developing agencies, and we went into the townships, into the informal settlements, and we taught people the AZ way of reading, the basics of reading and writing. And I can promise you, the smile you get from someone just to write an A or to sign his name is, I don't know, money can't replace it.
Madam Roslyn Malik, I had been saying, you started realizing that many disabled people have no access on many things after you had an accident. I'm going to ask a question, and please don't get offended. It might sound stupid. Before then, did you realize anything about discrimination of disabled people in many fields, or it just started then? And when I go through your CV, I can see that you have been involved in some skills training. So far, programs, government programs like ASKISA and GIPSA. How would you, such information, how would you disseminate it to the disabled people if you were to serve? How do you think it should be done? Because as you have just said, some of the people are blind, some of them, how do you think it should be? Because I don't think it is very practical what we are talking about. Braille is very expensive. And if you are talking about print media, I just imagine how can we do that. So I want us to talk about practical things that we think we can do. Thank you.
Before my disability, I was involved in another struggle than my disability, being a woman, being black. And I needn't say no more. So unfortunately and sadly, I did not realize that I've got brothers and sisters out there who have different disabilities and needs that needs to be addressed. But as you also said, Braille is extremely expensive. Why are we shy to put an extra penny down for just one person to be able to read something, give that person its integrity, personality, and let that person be itself to sit and read the papers, even just one person. Why are we trying to do that for one person when we have money to implement in many other programs? I find that a little bit disturbing.
Kevin, just a follow-up to my first question. What one has seen, particularly from the your ETVs and SBCs, they seem to be insensitive to the mainstream media in terms of programs for and with people of disabilities playing leading roles, for instance. You've seen it, people, the gays and lesbians, because I can't remember if ever there was one after 9, that was the name of the program, SABC, when gays were playing leading roles, that big Oscar-winning movie, Brokeback Mountain, that was it. But we've seen some programs. I think there was a lady, an advocate, a lawyer, that was signing. How would you influence, not in terms of patronizing people, but how do you see that, playing that role? Because when you have to add it later on, it then becomes expensive. If you do it from the word go, a full citizen like you would play a leading role. Only difference, like I said earlier, you're just sitting in a wheelchair and can walk. How would you influence that using the MDDA?
A lot of media feel they have done so much by just adding the script underneath. I don't know if you've picked it up, most of our local soaps and dramas and programs have got the script. It helps. And to them, that's a major step. And you must excuse them for feeling that way. Because they are people who want for the money. They don't want to give out that much. But if we make more noise, I'm not one person, but we get us all together and we make noise and we tell them, this is how it should be done. I'm sure if they can take that one step into putting the script, and I think our 6 o'clock has got sign language, and so does SABC3, if I'm correct. If they can do that, I'm sure they can do much more. They just need a push. Make them known here, and we're checking out, and we're looking at them, and they need to implement these kind of things.
Madam, thank you very much for your time and for coming all the way here. We appreciate it. There's a tea and some juice and snacks. Members, you can quickly grab a cup also, and then we're going to move to S26. Quickly grab a cup of coffee, and then we move to S26. You can leave now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then I work for people that have less business and work for journal in the early 1990s. That was my first experience with all the alternative media and what the situation was like trying to run alternative media, and I participated in around funding alternative media. And then I went to Tech at the University of Durban Westville to run a master's program in social policy. I did that for about 4 years. And then decided to join the labor movement, and I worked for the National League of Mine Workers as the head of research. Before deciding specifically to set up the SDTA as one of the main my main areas of responsibility. So I was the chief director, I was the director of policy. We played a major part in various stakeholders, and then working with the portfolio committee in drafting up the legislation through Parliament. And once that was done, in fact, there was a bit of overlap. I went back into academia, which is British University, and I did some work with Parliament, including a period in 2002 until the present time. Yeah, I'm now an associate professor in sociology. That's it. So I'm doing research in labor, globalization and labor, as well as media. I do supervision around media issues as well. So I can keep my interests alive in that area as well. And also sit on the appeals panel for the press conference.
Are you a disillusioned leftist who fears that he has lost the ANC to a self-serving elite? I'm quoting the title of one of your pieces for the Sunday Times. And I see also other more formal publications, titled, for example, Zuma, the Scorpions in the Developmental State, or South of Congress 2006, Zuma, or Working Down Time. And what I'm asking you, of course, is your leftist orientation is very clear. And open. And I'd like to understand whether your position on the development of the little media is in any way informed by left-wing ideology. Because there's also the odd title that would seem to indicate cynicism about the more commercial media, particularly our fastest minute finding. And therefore, I just need, because it's highly germane to the work of the NGDA, to understand. I've just found the title, Media Monopolies, Market Censorship. To understand whether you would be as open to helping small commercial outfits get a start in life as you would be to the community media, which tend to lend themselves to a different market. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't want to take it home myself as narrowly as that. Belief in a critical thinker, which for me is an essential part of being a Democrat. And a critical thinker implies one to engage with a diverse range of views in society. And so my greatest fear is both a media system that's dominated either by a government, as in government-controlled media, and the SED tendencies towards it, or on the other extreme, media controlled by corporate interests, big corporate interests especially, which also have those tendencies in our media system. And for me, it's essential that we, between these two extremes, create possibility for as many voices to be heard. And it includes more commercial media as well as non-profit media, so both have to be heard. For example, you know, the Natal Witness was an independent commercial newspaper. So was the Daily Dispatch. And they performed very important roles in their time before they were taken over by the So I'm very much in favor of small commercial media flourishing outside the control of the big big corporate interests. That's absolutely essential for me for the office. So if that makes me left-wing, then that's fine. But for me, it's about critical thinking and diverse views. Engagement is the engagement of the
Hello, are you still there?
Hello?
Are you still there? Because we can't hear you for a moment.
But I think it's
the point is made, yeah. Fine.
Okay.
Can we take a second question, Mr. Randy Peterson from the ANC?
So, I have a question, Mr. Randy Peterson from the African National Congress.
Hi.
Hi. I'm sure when you said you were Democrat, there was no relation between the Democrat and Democratic Alliance. But I would be obviously very worried if you just missed that one of the lines. I know you put it well, I'm sure. That's where it stops, Democrat. Can I come back to your particular skill? If you look at our diversity, for me there's some concern. Even with the coming on of the MDA, there seems to be a slow take-up or growth of the front in small and commercial and community media. How do you think that we could go about to stimulate that, like in the same way that we have Brighton's community radio station? Do you think that we might need some state intervention or stronger MDDA intervention in line with the IFRA code bill that we just passed? Strong state intervention, but related to the sector, and nothing seems to come of it.
Yes.
So, your view on that. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm very aware of the difficulties of the print sector as opposed to, say, community radio, and the resources that are required to generate sustainable print media. And my major concern would be perhaps what the NDA has been able to do thus far, it hasn't been able to really do sufficient research, in-depth research into the obstacles to media diversity and development. For us to really understand and come up with creative solutions to these real difficulties. And I wouldn't want to say that they are easy answers. The one thing that you need is a more resourced body that is able to do a range of things, but research into obstacles would be for me a first critical step along that path.
I think after so many years, nothing is happening. Surely we should consider intervention. If you should be on the MDA.
Yeah.
And your research could prove that you need some intervention of whatever nature.
It is.
Can you talk about that? Like we talk about it, particularly, you know, in the cities we have so many options and opportunities to read all kinds of. But as you move further out of the city, it gets extremely less. And hence your MDA has been established to start with very some of those shortcomings, and they don't seem to be able to do that.
Yes, I would want to, you know, I've been observing MDA at a distance for the past few years. So I wouldn't want to say I have particular solutions, but I think these are very, very difficult problems with regards to the print side of it. And for me, it has to be, I do know that they haven't done sufficient research. They've recently embarked on that. So I would want to say I have answers to this, having been out, you know, observing this at a distance. Except to say that there are particular media entities that are deserving, that have potential to be viable, and that are deserving of support, but there are not enough resources available at the moment. But I think we've got to tread very carefully when it comes to how we, the print media, how we diversify it, and to bring all the stakeholders on board would be very, very important. Hence, decisions ought to be made on a very, very informed basis as to what is required in particular parts of the country. And that really comes through proper research. So for me, there's an emphasis on the period of investment in proper research, in deep research, into obstacles to media diversity, will then yield creative answers, I think.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We've got another institution lined up for 4 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm coming in and receiving that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
On HIDNA in Geneva as their senior writer.
and I went there, took up that post, and returned to South Africa late last year, and I'm working independently at the moment again. So that's a Sanskrit version.
I'm Long Kaling from the AMC.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us what value are you going to add if you were to be appointed as a board member? And also, the second question would be, looking at MCTA, what positive aspects have you noticed and what negative aspects as well in terms of performing in their way? So how would you critique and how would you applaud them?
Okay. Yeah. If you're wrong, I'll start with the last question first, but I think it feeds into the first. So for an agency that's young, it's you kid on the block in many respects. My sense, and this is based on the year that I've been back here and on speaking and reading and listening to people, is that it's actually performed remarkably well. Why? One, I think the funding constraints that it's having to work with are, at least from my perspective, quite a concern and quite a limitation on what it's been able to do. But yet, it has managed to fund a variety, dozens in fact, if I'm to go by the annual report that Lumco presented recently of community radio projects and local newspaper, community newspaper projects, and other more ambitious projects as well. So